This is the Goalkeepers Union podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Goalkeepers Union podcast. Between the sticks, me, Matt Beadle, here with the rewinding voice of goalkeeping, Richard Lee.
Good morning, Matthew. Yes, rewinding and a little bit of FOMO as well.
Go on.
So we had our get together, lots of good meetings over the last week. I've had the pleasure of your company. It's been a little while. Really enjoyed it, by the way. And I didn't tell you to your face, but did really enjoyed your company. We had a lot of the lads that are involved in the agency came over and lots of meetings, all very productive. But we did have, well, there was a night out planned. And I'll be honest, I was a little bit tired. Didn't think I'd be all that worried. You know, I'm sure it would have been fun, etc. But turned out that you had an excellent night. What did you do, Matthew?
Well, we found out actually the night before, inadvertently, because we were planning to go to one of the sports bars over in Dubai to watch the Saturday football, wasn't it? So it was the Chelsea-Arsenal game followed by the Sheffield United-Manchester United game. So still working, making sure we have all the content for Between the Sticks. And lo and behold, we discovered that that night in that bar, playing on the beach, was none other than Mr. Craig David.
And how was it? I'm surprised he was there because he's normally making love on Saturday. Obviously, chills on Sunday, but he's normally, I mean, Thursday, Friday, Saturday is normally quite a busy time for him.
So we always say that we never rehearse the beginning of this particular segment on the show, but I'd have to say that this one you've had planned for a long time.
Oh,
you knew that you were going to do that pun.
I was so excited for us to rendezvous and, you know, have this conversation just because I knew there'd be so much that would come out of it, much that's already come out in the last few days.
But no, he was excellent. He was excellent. He does his whole TS5 gig, and I've seen it a few times before. I'm a big fan of his. I think he's very, very talented. So yes, I had it off on that beach, I won't lie.
Well, I'm really pleased for you. Look, let's rewind. Let's start again. Let's talk about goalkeeping, because I've got a feeling today. I've gone through the clips. I've gone through a lot of what's happened this weekend, and I feel like it's just going to be one big commentary corner, or a lot of it will be, because there were some ridiculous comments this weekend. So, so annoying. Like, I'm annoyed now. What's it now? It's Tuesday. I still haven't calmed down.
Which is when you're supposed to be meeting the girl, so you need to calm down, okay? Right, looking forward to it. On with the show.
Let's do it.
Commentary corner. So there we go. We are starting with a commentary corner. As you put it right there, Richard, there has been plenty going on this week. I just realised you actually should be going for a drink, not meeting the girl. You meet the girl on Monday, don't you? That's my bad. Apologies for that one. Don't normally get those wrong, but I have on this occasion. But commentary corner, I'm going to just give you one sentence and let you run with it, okay?
Okay.
It's getting hot for him. He's got that look on his face like, help.
Ridiculous. He's got the same expression on his face that he always has. And of course, we're talking about David Raya. We're talking about a lot of the comments that were made over the weekend. In fact, there were so many of the goalkeepers. There's been ridiculous comments this weekend. So we'll start with David Raya. We'll start with that moment that has been, it's amazing. Even yesterday, watching Sky Sports News, they're still talking about it. And, you know, I know we feel like we called it. I think most people called it at the start of the season that because of the situation, this will be a major talking point. The two of them, obviously Rare and Ramsdale, but I want to give a slightly different perspective on this goal, because, you know, the bit that I did love, in fact I didn't love, I'm not going to be sarcastic, the bit that just I could not believe was, of course, they've gone to the studio, there's Jamie Redknapp, the goalkeeping guru that he is, like, with his lovely little annotation on the screen, then he turns to another goalkeeping expert to be, what do you think, what's happened here, Jimmy Floyd Hasselbaink. Like, listening to the two of them, listening to Gary Neville, and I know we'd keep saying the same thing, just please, please, please bring somebody in with an ounce of goalkeeping knowledge. That's all we ask. You've got your referees sat on every different show now, doing whatever they're doing, and yet there's still nobody doing anything goalkeeping related. But I will give a different perspective on the Raya goal, because look, on the, I suppose you look at it black and white, is he in the wrong position? Yes. However, it's not an unusual position for David Raya. The bit that I want to talk about, which nobody mentioned, was, what's the lad who scored? What was his name?
Mykhailo Mudryk.
Mudryk, right. Now, he's come out and kind of claimed, I've seen some of the articles again, and like, just not telling the truth, which was, oh yes, you know, we talked about the goalkeeper being off his line, so I spotted him, and I put, no, you didn't. No, you didn't. We can see in the build-up, not once have you looked towards the goalkeeper. You're looking to whip the ball in, and you can see the way it's come off your foot. You've shanked it. It's so lucky. Now, with that being the case, the bit that David Rea is obviously reading the situation in the way that he does, and he always does, takes up an advanced position. And one of the biggest compliments that he gets is because of the amount of crosses he takes, how proactive he is. You know, it's one of the big reasons that Arsenal signed him. He reads the game incredibly well when it comes to these situations. So he's taken up a position according to what Mudryk wants to do. Now, Mudryk shanked it. It's gone up high over his head into the far corner. So it wasn't meant by Mudryk. So then, get that in black and white and goalkeeping terms, is Rea in the right position or the wrong position? Of course, he's in the wrong position. However, according to what Mudryk was trying to do, the position wasn't so bad because it would have been whipped into that near post. Rea's got a really advanced position. And how many times do we see him cut out danger in those positions, which, you know, prevents so many different goals? So it's a real tricky one, this one, for me, because is it an error? Yeah, black and white, it's an error. But then I think the fact that Mudryk does something that he had no intention of doing, you could then argue the opposite, that actually Rea has taken up a position based on the situation.
In the interests, very quickly, of balance here, you mentioned Jamie Redknapp there when they went into the studio. He started that analysis very well. I thought, okay, here we go. We're going to get some good stuff here, because Redknapp did flag the fact that he saw David Rea as being in an aggressive starting position, and that's the way that David Rea plays. That's the way he operates. And he continued down that path before handing it over, as you say, to Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank, who basically completely agreed and who disagreed and said that it was an error. And rather than challenge him on that error, Redknapp then just indulged what Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank said. It would have been better if Redknapp had batted back, not completely disagreed, but said, well, isn't this the way that David Rea normally operates? Instead, he just fell back into the trap of criticising goalkeepers.
Well, even this conversation we're having here, imagine, you know, I'm not saying it's me, it's got to be someone with a bigger profile than me, someone in the goalkeeping world that can sit there and just give a counter-argument, because if nothing else, it starts a better conversation and educates a lot of the people watching. Because, you know, I see all the reports that have come out since and what everybody will say. They'll all follow the same narrative. And it was embarrassing watching the game. There was a moment in particular, the ball's gone down the sideline, Rea has taken a touch and passed it down the line. Like, he actually did it really well. And I think the comment was along the lines of, oh, there's Rea trusting his footwork again. Like, you know, but it was kind of in a negative tone. He's played it down the line, and then I think it was Colwell touches it, goes to clear it, shanks it out of play, and the commentary was so different. It was like, oh, bit of a miskick there from Colwell. No, that was terrible. Like, if Rea does that, again, he's getting a very different feeling from the commentary. You'll probably get the funny noises that Gary Neville makes so often. And it's just really, it is just really frustrating to watch, in that they've decided on a narrative and they're going to keep running with that narrative. So, and again, it's that whole psychological one. You see what you want to see, and they're seeing what they want to see. Now, is that impacting Rea? Is the Rea Ramsdale thing impacting each other? Maybe. I mean, we spoke about that, and I still agree that it doesn't make sense. And, you know, I think that it puts goalkeepers under unnecessary pressure. It is a very different position to anything else on the field. But it just annoys me that when it's coming back to these commentators who have got zero understanding of goalkeepers, other than the fact they know a few good goalkeepers, and they're the ones that are giving this expert opinion, expert advice, and there is nobody there to at least put a different argument forward and create a better conversation.
One of my concerns with all of this, especially with Neville, is that I feel like he's, and I might have said this before, I feel like he's starting to dumb himself down with his punditry, with his co-commentary, because this is a man who has played at the highest level, won major trophies, has come into Sky Sports and has bossed it. He's really bossed it. His knowledge of the game, his reading of the game, his analysis of the game has been second to none, to the point that I see, or have seen, Gary Neville, and I still do see him as that, to be fair, as, you know, a discerning voice of football. His work on Monday Night Football, and I'll put Jamie Carragher into this, the work that they do on Monday Night Football is excellent. I'll watch their analysis and think, never in a million years would I have spotted what they've spotted. And you learn something from their analysis. However, it feels like they are now falling into this trap, this talk sport, this YouTube, this social media trap of just having a soundbite, this clickbait nonsense, this society that we now live in where you just need to say something outrageous and someone puts it as a headline on Twitter, on Instagram, on YouTube. You see it all the time on YouTube. There's a, you know, you get the images, the teaser images, and it's of two people with really angry expressions on their face. Paul Merson and Mike Dean the other day. And the headline is, Paul Merson, Mike Dean, in huge clash, a fiery debate. Well, not really. It's just two blokes having a chat. Yes, it might get heated at some point, but essentially, they are just two men having a conversation about football, and that's all that it is. But now it feels like producers maybe at Sky Sports, like you hear about at TalkSport, like you hear with Simon Jordan saying something utterly outrageous in order to get the clicks, in order to get people arguing back with them. That's what it feels like is happening at Sky Sports now. So when Gary Neville is saying stuff about David Raya and, oh, he needs help, oh, you know, he's feeling the heat. No, he's not. He's absolutely fine. It just feels like they are bringing themselves down to a level that they don't need to bring themselves down to.
Is that then just with goalkeeping, or do you think that's... Because, you know, with the goalkeeping side, it's interesting when I talk to a lot of the guys we work with, a lot of the lads that I know, all the outfield footballers that I know, they will all talk really positively about him, yet very few goalkeepers will. So I just wonder whether that's then very much related to goalkeeping, or whether that's a bit of a shift in general for him, where now he's been instructed to do that.
I mean, it could be all over. But yeah, and listen, we are still being positive about him, just credited him there as being a discerning voice of football. And again, in the interests of balance, which is what we always like to do on the Goalkeepers Union podcast, he did credit David Raya as well for a few moments in the game, especially in the second half. He made a good save where he didn't rush out. He stayed patient and thwarted Nicholas Jackson when Jackson tried to round him. Good save from David Raya. And Gary Neville mentioned that. So he's not always hammering goalkeepers. There's just this feeling that at moments where he feels like he can hammer them, he's really hammering them. He's really going in and saying something slightly more scandalous and slightly more impactful, perhaps. But yeah, on the whole, I guess, from our perspective as well, because we're doing this podcast, it does feel like it's more on goalkeepers than it is on outfield players.
I mean, one other point I was going to bring up from that game, because then you got the other end. I was frustrated for Rob Sanchez, because, again, we talk about narrative shifting when it was all going really positively and everyone talking about him being their best signing this summer and so on and so forth. One misplaced pass and suddenly it all ramps up again. Not only that, you then had the... there was one in particular, and again, I'm watching the footage. A ball crossed into the far post. Sanchez does brilliantly. He's being wrestled on the line. He gets back and gets a flick and flicks it out for a corner and then asks the referee, like, you're not going to do anything. Like, again, Gary Neville's watched this. He's even watched the replay from the perfect angle where you can see the guy that stood on him is boxing him in, not letting him get out, so he couldn't come and catch it. And then Gary Neville continues on the cliche lines, like, oh, I want my goalkeeper to command his six-yard box, to be strong, to be calm, to be... No, Gary, watch. Watch the footage that's right in front of you. Is there any way that any human being on the planet can catch that football when you're being wrestled on the line like that? No, they can't. So actually what he's done, he's got free, got a hand to it, put it out for a corner. It's excellent goalkeeping. Can you comment on that? Can you see that? But again, he doesn't want to see it. And that's the bit, again, that I keep going back to it. Just put someone on the panel. Put someone on the panel that understands goalkeeping, because it'll actually make for better TV as well. Because Gary Neville can still say those kind of things. Then you'll have someone with a bit of education coming back at him, and then how does he deal with it? You know, it's like the bully in the schoolyard that just says, you know, whatever they want to say. No one ever says anything to him, so of course they carry on doing it. It's the same thing here, that nobody is coming back to him.
What about the moments of madness it was described as with Sanchez and the first goal from Declan Rice?
It's not a moment of madness. Look, he's played as many passes as he's played. And this is the other interesting bit. I saw the stat actually on Sky Sports News where... and whether they did it inadvertently or whether it was meant, they showed the difference between Raya and Ramsdale. And that kind of gives maybe a little bit of an explanation that Raya is playing essentially double the number of passes that Ramsdale was playing. Now, you know, the argument could be that Raya's maybe doing it a little bit too much. But again, it will be the instruction of the manager. So they're trying to play a certain style of play. And look, you know, 9 times out of 10, 99 times out of 100, he's getting it right. But of course, the one time you don't, there is a chance you get punished. And I kind of felt like for Sanchez in this game, similar sort of thing. You know, on the whole, played out very well, looked very comfortable. And even this, when you break it down, he's misplaced the pass by a yard. But of course, he goes past the player, Declan Rice, great finish from 30-odd yards, gone right in the corner. And it is what it is. There's going to be a moment or two like that this season when you're playing that style of football. So was it a moment of madness? No, I think it was the right play. He's just not executed the pass with the left foot to the lad that was sort of 15, 20 yards away from him, in the same way that all these outfield players do that over and over. But of course, you know, the nature of the position, when it happens in goalkeeping, there is a much higher percentage it leads in a goal. I go back to the Colwell comment, you know, where he's just sliced it out of play and it's literally just a miskick there from Colwell and that's it, done. Nothing more. Whereas it's not just that was a, you know, misplaced pass from Sanchez. It's resulted in a goal. Of course, it's resulted in a goal. So we make that much more of it. But essentially, that's all it was. It was one misplaced pass in the game. And that now gives him a 4 out of 10 in the paper.
To finish on this, because we have to bring up the Raya Ramsdale debate again. It's reared its ugly head after the weekend. In my opinion, by the way, just for the record, I don't feel like Raya looks like he's feeling any heat. I don't feel like he looks like he's under pressure in any way. To me, it looks like he's perfectly fine. He's playing well. There have been a couple of moments, but it's a couple of moments that you'll see every goalkeeper go through every single season. But here's a question for you. So Aaron Ramsdale missed that game. He and his partner had a baby. Congratulations to them. Do you think, now this is a bit of a difficult question because it is hypothetical, but do you think that if Aaron Ramsdale was still number one at Arsenal with David Raya nipping at his heels, so he hadn't been dropped yet, but Raya had been brought in, but Raya hadn't made, or they hadn't made that transition yet from Raya into number one. If Aaron Ramsdale was still number one, would he have missed that game at the weekend?
I mean, look, it's a really tough question because it's a much deeper question than, like, no, he wouldn't. He would have played because, yeah, look, it's something that I know all the lads are very different when it comes to something like that. You hear lots of stories when they miss their child's birth to play a game and, you know, football fans naturally see it incredibly positively. And then there's a lot of other people in the world like, how could you miss that? You know, what's wrong with you? That should be the biggest moment of your life, et cetera, et cetera. So, look, I think it's a really tough question to answer. I do think, again, and we've said all this, but at the same time, and where we try and give that objective, level-headed, you know, opinion on all of this kind of stuff, I still go back to the thought of them bringing both of them in or having them both there. Like, we did predict this. A lot of people predicted this would happen because, you know, I think Raya, on the whole, as you say, he's been some really good games, some big moments in terms of what he's offered going forward has been very, very good. Yet the narrative was set so long ago, this wasn't an unlikely situation to happen, that people would be calling for Ramsdale to be back in. Look, at some point, one of them need to move on. We've said it since moment one. It's very hard to get the goalkeeping dynamic right, the 1-2-3. There's very few clubs in the country that have the dynamic right. And I will always stick by that. When you've got two that are desperate to play and two that are more than good enough to play, which, you know, they're both top-end Premier League goalkeepers at the same club, it's going to be difficult. And if anything, what ends up happening is, if suddenly Arteta was to make a change, he creates even more problems for himself, because then it's, all right, what do you now do with Raya? And then does Ramsdale make a mistake and you put Raya back in? Like, you know, go back to the initial points we made. I don't think it should have happened in the way that it's happened, and I sort of stand by that. At the same time, we want to continue to give that objective view on the performances of each of these goalkeepers individually.
Okay, moving on to St James's Park, where it was Newcastle 4, Crystal Palace 0. And I'd just like to bring up the first goal scored by Jacob Murphy. Sam Johnstone now was in a position here which could potentially have been picked apart like it was with David Raya, but because of the circumstances of the goal, no one really focused on that and instead credited Murphy for a great finish, which wasn't a great finish, by the way. He was purely helping on the ball from Kieran Trippier and looking to find whoever it was in the middle of the box. As is, he's mishit it, it's looped over Sam Johnstone, and they're 1-0 up.
Yeah, I mean, the similarities, obviously slightly different situations, positioning. This is a bit more of a looping ball to the far post, as you mentioned. I think, but then I go back to the point I've just made. I think that, you know, at the moment, there's a real positive narrative around Sam Johnstone, as there should be, because, you know, he's put in some top performances. And, you know, in the same way that David Raya, when he was at Brentford, he could do no wrong, you know, and it wasn't that he was playing too dissimilarly to what he's playing now. But again, the narrative was very different. And, you know, I kind of remember even with Gary Neville or these guys, when they're watching Brentford on TV, it was just gushing about everything that David Raya was doing. And so I do feel that then once you've kind of got that, then people are seeing different things. They're not necessarily looking for holes. You know, and in this, I don't think Sam Johnstone has got any chance with this, really. And I think the position he's taken up, going back to it, it's aggressive. It's not necessarily a bad position. I think it is just one of them. As you mentioned, it's a freak goal. It's gone far post. He was meaning it as a cross, and it's fallen in the corner. You know, it's one of those things. And again, that's how I think the commentary, I'd argue, probably should have been, given the fact that Mudrić shanked it.
No positive narrative around St Johnstone, by the way. Bottom of the Premiership. They are the Scottish Premiership.
True. True.
And keeping a clean sheet, preserving a clean sheet in that game, Nick Pope, just quickly, lovely save from the free kick from Odson Edouard.
Brilliant. Yeah, brilliant save this. Again, this is one of those saves, I think with his size, this does play a part in this save. You know, for him to get across, he's moved his feet so quickly. That's going right in the top corner. Should have beaten him. It's just a top save.
over to Bramall Lane, where it was Sheffield United 1, Manchester United 2. And Wes Fodderingham, we are going to focus on here. He made a very good first half save from Rasmus Højlund. Really good save, that one. But then the goal conceded, the winner conceded from Diogo Dalot. He's received a bit of stick for that one.
He did. And again, I say it could be a whole commentary corner. I want to be a little bit careful, because I know we're going to talk about Neto shortly as well, and we've got another commentary corner potentially. But yeah, first and foremost, the save he made, very good, brave, quick, off his line, made a good shape, good save. Yeah, important save. And then the Dalot goal, like, the reason that people are saying he could have saved it is because he got fingertips on it. That's all he got, fingertips on it. If he doesn't get fingertips on it, does anyone say anything? It's gone right in the top corner. Does anybody say anything? Probably not. But again, it goes back to that basic level of education when it comes to goalkeeping. Oh, he's got fingertips on it. He should save that. No, if he saves it, it's a brilliant save, because Dalot started this outside the post. It's dipping into the top corner. Wes Fodderingham moved his feet well, exploded up to his left, gets fingertips to it, hits the post and goes in. How is that one that the goalkeeper will be looking at himself? Like, he won't. The bits, if you want to pick holes, the only thing you might then say is where he's effectively gone with two hands. Could he have gone with maybe the top hand? Would that have given him that extra inch? Maybe. But again, that doesn't constitute an error. That's just a slight technical tweak that you might make to give himself that extra inch, which might have been the difference in this situation. But where, again, it's that sort of negative tone, like, oh dear, the goalkeeper will be a little bit disappointed with that one. Like, of course he'll be disappointed. It's gone in. But there was no moment for me where I'm thinking, oh, he has to save that.
Finishing up then in the Premier League, just three more moments I'd like to get your opinion on. Vicario, Guglielmo Vicario, a fantastic first half save from Paulinho. That was a header from a corner in the first half in the win for Spurs at Craven Cottage against Fulham last night. Some signing he's proving to be. Neto, you mentioned there, for the Wolves, winner from Sasa Kalajic. And Alphonse Areola, his 50th game for West Ham at the weekend, having a little battle with Douglas Luiz. Lovely save in the first half, a top-hand save there. But the first goal, again, just a sneaky bit of criticism. But when you look a little closer, there was a tiny deflection, which essentially makes that first goal a save from, what, 7 yards as opposed to 20 yards.
Yeah. Well, do you know what? Look, when I first saw it, we actually watched this live together. When I first saw it, your initial thought is, oh, could have done a little bit better there. But then you see it, like you say, it's that key angle from behind. It's the faintest of touches off the boot of the lad in front of him. He's already made his dive, according to the initial ball. It takes that faint touch, which probably moves it a foot. And of course, if he's already made his dive, there's no way he can extend his arm and get enough on it. So it's then just obviously hit his fingertips, gone in the corner. So absolutely no chance with that goal whatsoever. And the save he made top corner, brilliant save. Kind of similar in terms of the Fodderingham one that we spoke about just a second ago. Of course, Areola does save this one. He does go with the top hand, gets a very good hand. Again, really explosive. We say this a lot about Areola, but just so athletic. The way in which he moves his feet, the speed, the spring, just a beautiful, beautiful save. The Neto one really frustrated me, because he's played it out to the sitting midfielder, but it was the commentary straight away, like, oh my God, what's he done? What's that? But you actually watch it. The midfielder's asking for the ball, and he's got about 10 yards of space. Now, he can't sort his feet out, tries to turn, turns incredibly slowly, gets robbed, they come through and score. There's nothing in that play that Neto's done wrong. He's put the ball down. He's got a lad free who's asking for the ball, plays it to him. He then makes a bit of a mistake of it. They score a goal, and it's Neto that's getting the criticism, which, yeah, again, I'm just watching that and just hoping that when they see the replay, they can see that the lad's asking for the ball. They can see that the lad's miscontrolled it. And I'm sure that behind closed doors, he's the one that will be holding his hands up saying, sorry, lads.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to touch on Vicario, because I mentioned he's been some signing there. It feels like, yeah, that's great recruitment from Spurs. And no one, I mean, I can't remember the last time Hugo Lloris was mentioned.
Yeah, no, look, massive, massive credit to him. Because I think, as you say, when you heard a lot of the names in the summer that were being linked, like Verbruggen was linked with a lot of the clubs, and a lot of these goalkeepers that have moved to the Premier League, they were being touted about for quite some time. Whereas Vicario, it kind of happened under the radar. They got their business done early. There was one or two question marks. Would he adapt to the Premier League, et cetera, et cetera? But yeah, nothing but positives to this point. I think he looks, again, I keep using the word athletic, but he looks really explosive, looks like he's got really strong body language. He's really embracing the challenge. A couple of the saves that he's made, we talk about big saves that, you know, win points and that big moment being able to execute it at the time, and certainly did that here because this is a top save. His footwork's very good from the corner, gets himself into good position. It's gone back to his left-hand side, so it's always difficult when you're going to your right to then go back to your left. And then even the awareness at that point to get that almost claw and claw it out the corner, because a palm might not have been enough given the angle of his dive, which he was forced to do. It was a negative dive, diving back on himself because he had to in order to get there, and then to claw it around the post. It's a top save.
And a quick question to end up the Premier League coverage, Richard. Alisson kept a fourth successive Merseyside derby clean sheet at the weekend for the first time since which goalkeeper managed it in 1976? Quite an easy one for you, that.
Ray Clements.
Correct, Richard. Yes. Very good. In that run, by the way, Clements kept 9 in a row in Merseyside derbies.
Well, there you go. Before you'd asked the question, I was just, all I had in my mind is, if it's 70s, I'm going to go with Ray Clements. If it's 90s, I'm going to go with Bruce Grobbelaar. Or maybe that's more 80s, actually.
I'd say more 80s.
Yeah. But okay, I'm glad that I got lucky.
It is the EFL overview, where Mads Hermansson is keeping up his record of conceding the fewest goals in the EFL so far this season. That is just 7 in his 11 games so far. Only Edison has conceded less in all 4 tiers, and another fine stop from Liam Cullen in Leicester's win at Swansea. That came at a crucial point in the game too. Leo Volstead into the groove now at Blackburn. That is 2 clean sheets in 3 and a celebratory save late on in the win over Cardiff. Ollie Tanner denied there. Always love to see a goalkeeper celebration. Hull's Ryan Allsop unlucky to be on the losing side against Southampton. Agile and athletic to keep out Will Smallbone and Carlos Alcaraz, only for the former to eventually net alongside Ryan Fraser as the Saints took all 3 points. A point shared between Preston and managerless Millwall, and that was thanks to a wood readjustment. Freddie freeing himself up to pat Adaimo Amaku's deflected effort onto the bar, and George Long in for a debut league start at Norwich, his first start in the Championship since May, and despite looking comfortable throughout, I thought, ended up on the wrong end of a 3-2 scoreline at home to Leeds.
Yeah, well, just to mention a couple of them there, certainly the save from Freddie Woodman, very good save this, because he's moving to his right, deflection. He used the exact word that I was going to use, the readjustment. Very, very good to then manipulate a way to get a hand to it and get it over the crossbar. Ryan Allsop, as you said, some excellent stuff in this game. The save down to his right, it's one of those lovely saves where it's back on him a bit, but you just get enough of a hand and you just watch it trickle past the post. Brilliant, brilliant save. Not much more he could have done. And really pleased for Leo Volstead as well at Blackburn. Obviously stepped in with Ainsley Pears being injured, and he's certainly making the most of it. I think that's 2 clean sheets in 3 league starts, I believe. And big save to his right hand side. You know, full stretch, good hand, big clean sheet. This was always going to be a tight game, you felt. But to get that 1-0 victory, a huge 3 points.
Into League One, where there were a series of excellent saves at the weekend. We'll start with Will Norris of Portsmouth diving low to his left to palm a Daniel Butterworth effort out for a corner. It was goalless with Carlisle at the time, Pompey scoring an injury time winner in that one, so a crucial save from Norris. It was all going off in the game between Shrewsbury and Derby. Firstly, Joe Wildsmith with a save of the weekend contender from Daniel Udo, and then very nearly a save of the season contender from his own man in Connor Hourihan. The eventual own goal, however, being the difference in that game, with Marco Morosi, who we should mention too, keeping Salop level in the first half with quick reactions from Curtis Nelson. Ben Killip, we should mention him, in for a league debut at Barnsley. And Sam Tickle, a big win for Wigan at Exeter. And a couple of things here. One, he has one heck of a big boomer on him, doesn't he, Tickle? And two, he is an all-action goalkeeper. Seems like he's in the thick of it at all times. Really like to see that youthful zest, that youthful enthusiasm.
Yeah, it really is. You mentioned that boomer. It's a lovely trajectory as well. He's got that real firm kind of 10-15 yards off the deck. It's just a bullet when he strikes it. And I love the fact that he is so front-footed, brave in his decision-making, still so young as well. Really energetic body language. Really excited to see where he goes, what happens to him. Just to mention a couple of the others that you touched on there, the Will Norris save, it was actually down to his right, Matthew, but I won't pick you up on that. But it was down to his right. Do you know what I actually loved about this save was that he slipped a little bit. You could just see as it struck, he slipped. So again, to readjust, it's so difficult when you go and your leading leg goes to then try and get that power to get enough on it. And you can see when he makes a save, he is absolutely at full stretch just to get it round the post. But big, big save this, even more so because of the sight slip. And yeah, got to mention Joe Wildsmith as well, doing a great job at Derby, and again, looking very, very strong in this one.
You know when you say, you know when you pick someone up on something, you can't then say, I'm not going to pick you up on it.
Yeah, it kind of negates it, doesn't it? But I was just, yeah, no, okay, I take that back. I have picked you up on it, and rightly so.
And finally, in League Two, someone sound that klaxon, please. Yes, Lewis Jones teeing up Mo Farah for Doncaster's winner at Tranmere. And Owen Evans up from the back in the dying embers as Walsall trailed Newport at Rodney Parade. Freddie Draper bags his hat-trick from the corner. Evans goes nuts. He copies the front man and performs a forward role a la Richard Lee. We've said it before, he is indeed the young Richard Lee in all aspects of his game.
And it was an excellent forward roll. I thought the technique on it, and it's a running forward roll as well. Not easy, but I thought the execution was great. I love the fact he was a good 15 yards away from where the actual celebration was taking place as well. I think that was my favourite bit about this.
He's just completely in the moment, isn't he? I love that. We should also clarify here that there is some substance, a point to us constantly harping on about Owen Evans being the young Richard Lee. So this comes from our chat with Nick Colgan a few years ago now, who did describe Owens when they were together at Wigan as a young Richard Lee. That's where that comes from.
This is true. And in fairness, I was known for the odd forward role. I couldn't ever quite do the flip. That was the thing. I sort of semi-tried to do a backflip. Wasn't really going to happen. I could do the cartwheel, but like the roundhouse thing. So I'd often do that. That would be a little celebration. And the forward roll I did a couple of times after a penalty save. So yeah, do you know what, Nick? I think there might be something in this.
And do you want to quickly credit Mr. Jones for the excellent through ball?
It was. I'm going to credit him, and I'm also at the same time frustrated because I always check flash scores. That's my go-to for anything football-related, and it's always nice when you see a goal scorer's name, then next to them, in brackets, you'll see who's got the assist. So I was so excited to go on there and see L. Jones next to him. No name. No name. They just gave the goal scorer. So according to flash scores, it wasn't an assist. Now, I can only wonder whether that was because there might have been a slight touch when the ball's played over, and so they've therefore taken it away from him. But here on the Goalkeepers Union podcast, it is 100% an assist. It's a lovely strike upfield. The lad's gone through and scored. That is an assist. End of. Clean Sheet Club. Okay, it's that time of the show where Matt sends me over his nonsense and I have to read it out. It is, of course, Clean Sheet Club. So we start in the Premier League. We have Alisson, Mark Flecken, Nick Pope, Vicario. Matt, what's happened here?
Okay, yeah, I put my hands up here, Richard. I do put my hands up. I do have those who made clean sheets this weekend, but you know, a combination of arriving late home from Dubai and jet lag meant that I wasn't able to properly complete Clean Sheet Club this weekend. And I am a disgrace. I can't believe I've let myself down. I've let you down. I've let the listeners down. I've let the Goalkeepers Union down. But, you know, you're allowed one, right? I get one free pass.
Well,
and this is my one.
I hope so. I just hope we haven't lost thousands of listeners on the back of this. But hey ho, let's carry on nonetheless. In the Championship, Leo Walstead, Max O'Leary, Senny Dieng, Dan Backman, Alex Palmer, and Mike Cooper. Going into League One, Ashley Maynard Brewer, Luke Southwood, Sam Tickle. By the way, good win for Cheltenham. Delighted for Luke Southwood. Lucas Jensen, Will Norris, Marco Morosi, Tate Ashby Hammond, Connor Ripley. And in League Two, John McCracken, Paul Farman, and Alex Bass.
Very good, Richard. Very good. You reeled those off with no issues whatsoever for the first time, I think. Very decent.
I prefer that. Not going to lie. There's one name we should mention from that list who, of course, has been out for a long, long time injured. Came back with a clean sheet. A big well done to Mike Cooper. Of course, at Plymouth, had a real serious injury. I think it was Christmas time, wasn't it? It was quite some time ago. So he's had a long road to recovery, but played for Plymouth. Good clean sheet.
Absolutely. The table two, I do have that, so I'll quickly read that out. We have five goalkeepers on six clean sheets apiece. Top of that pile are Liam Roberts, Dan Backman, Alex Bass, Connor Ripley, Luke Southwood, Will Norris, Marco Morosi, Tate Ashby Hammond, and Alex Bass. Dan Grimshaw and Will Norris, who've managed 6 clean sheets in 12 games. And then just below them are Christy Pym and Alex Bass. Pym in 13, Bass in 14. Liam Roberts, of course, won't be able to add to that tally for a while because he's out for a period. We mentioned Ben Killip making his debut a bit earlier on.
Yeah, big blow for Liam Roberts because he has been he's been fantastic this season. I know a lot of people that do follow the XGA. I know he's top of that, I believe, in League One. Saved a good 5 or 6 above what he should have saved, according to the stats. So he's had an excellent season so far. So best wishes to him. Hope he's not out too long.
And speaking of clean sheets, Richard, to finish up the podcast, which goalkeeper has the most clean sheets in Europe's top 5 leagues so far this season?
Oh, is this a name I should get?
You know the goalkeeper. It would be very good if you were to get it. Here's a clue. He currently plays in the Dutch top flight.
Oh, could it be?
He did play in the Premier League for a decent amount of time.
Okay, now I feel like I really should get it. I'm going to go with... This is going to eat away at me. Go on, just say. We don't want to keep him hanging too long.
Matty Ryan.
I was going to say Matty Ryan.
Well, you didn't, did you?
Oh.
I'm not going to pull you up on it, but you did.
Why didn't I just back myself?
Should have done.
There you go. Now, such a positive pod, and now I'm going to leave with this feeling in me for the rest of the day. Oh, it could have been such a good day.
8 clean sheets for Matty Ryan, which is very impressive when you consider the tumultuous few seasons, I guess you could say. Went to Arsenal, didn't he, after Brighton? That was in the COVID campaign, I believe. Didn't quite work out at Real Sociedad. Had a bit of a stinker at FC Copenhagen because of the tête-à-tête he was having with Kamil Grabara at the time. Has gone to AZ Alkmaar in the Eredivisie and, yeah, is pulling up trees, or tearing up trees, as you like to say.
Yeah, and I should have known that because I actually met AZ Alkmaar just before he signed there, as there was a little bit of interest in another unnamed goalkeeper, but they decided to go forward with Matty Ryan, and I'm sure they're delighted they did.
Mm. Let yourself down there, haven't you, a bit, really?
Okay, is this you just trying to be mean? Is there anything behind this, or just usual Matt Bieber?
I'll tell you what was classic Richard Lee activity was in the Turkish Super League. So Galatasaray goalkeeper Fernando Muslera, he's earned all kinds of praise for a lovely moment of humanity at its highest order, which is what most people have called it on Twitter, in the game between Galatasaray and Besiktas, where Valentin Rozier, the Besiktas attacker, was going to collide with a post, and Muslera has managed to push his opponent out of the way in order for him not to have the old classic Phil Babb. So he's done goalkeepers a solid there, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has. I did see this quite a bit on social media. There was a comment I saw below that did make me smile, which was along the lines of, I'm surprised he didn't go to VAR and he got a red card for pushing him. But no, delighted that he did it, and a big thumbs up to him.
Okay, Richard, that's us. You've got plenty going on, so I'll let you get back to your world.
Thank you. Do you know what I am actually doing today? I'll tell you, because is it interesting? I suppose it's slightly interesting. In fact, I'm meeting a Saudi Arabian agent, so obviously a lot going on in Saudi Arabia at the moment. So looking forward to that, just to get a little bit more of a feel as to what's going on over there. But I'm actually meeting my old school teacher.
Okay, do you want to elaborate on that?
Well, I haven't seen him for like 20 years. I'm quite old, Matt. I'm 41 years old. Like, I haven't seen him since I was like 16. But it turns out, I saw it pop up on social media that he's staying not too far from where I am currently. So I reached out to him and I'm going to go and have a coffee with him. So we'll reminisce on the good old days of house basketball and the football games that we ordinarily lost at school level. But hey ho. But yes, so I'm having a catch up with him. So there you go.
It's impressive that you know that he's there. So you've got your old teacher on social media.
Oh, my teachers love me. I mean, they've got like signed gloves up on the wall and all sorts in the school. Like, I've got a bit of a shrine there. So, yeah, I'm still connected with a few of them. I was teacher's pet, I'm not going to lie. I was that kid that was reasonably good at sport and I wasn't a great student, but I was well behaved. So, yeah, so I've kept in touch.
Richard, thank you.
Matthew, thank you.
This has been the Goalkeepers Union podcast, Between the Sticks, Keepers.
Wait.